Acts 16, we're going to read only verse 25. Notice what the Bible says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I have a question. I'll hopefully try to answer it before I'm done. How could they pray and praise under the circumstances they were in? They were not in a luxury hotel. They were not even in a comfortable jail. They were in miserable conditions. They had already been beaten. They had already been mistreated. They had no idea what tomorrow held. Had no idea. Didn't know if they'd be released or put to death. They didn't know. I'll say it this way. It's not a good place to be. It's not where I want to volunteer for. If they're signing up to go to prison, I'm going to try and get to the back of the line. But these disciples, seemingly, they offer no complaint. It seems as though they're not complaining to other prisoners. They're not complaining to each other. They're not complaining to God. They are praying and praising. Of course, singing's involved. I've set the praying aside for this evening. I have some ideas, at least some suggestions that I think of what they prayed. I do not know, and neither do you, but I have some thoughts. May deal with that one day. I want to deal, though, primarily with that thought of singing praises. Now, I understand how they can pray. Boy, I would be. I've been in jail twice, and I don't know if I prayed or not, but if I thought about it, I would have, and I didn't know the Lord at all. I wanted out. And these men are there wrongly. I said they don't know when they're getting out. So I understand how they could pray, but what are this thing of praising and singing to the Lord? Well, you notice the timing of the situation. It's at midnight. I think that was the worst time of night. Number one, the fact that it's night, darkness, makes everything worse. If you're sick, I know the sickness worsens at night. But just the difficulty of sickness gets worse at night. If you're afraid, it's worse at night. If you're going through a burden, it's worse at night. So it's nighttime, which makes it worse, but it's midnight. It has been long enough through the dark hours to really make it heavy, hard, and difficult. But it's not far enough through the night to where you can say, well, it's just about morning, it'll be over in just a few minutes, or at least it'll get better. It's right in the middle, right in the worst time. You've already gone through a lot, and you look ahead, and it seems like you got a long way to go before the sun comes up, and maybe some relief. Maybe something will happen at midnight. I'll tell you what, it seems like a bad situation, and it was. Now, I'll go ahead and say it. You know it anyway. They will be set free. God will move, and they will be set free. But in this verse, while they're singing and praising and praying, they have no idea about that. So we cannot say, oh, they knew what's going to happen, because it didn't. So I know right now they were not praising because they saying, you're going to deliver us in just a little while. Everything's going to be all right. They didn't know that. They had no idea at all what was going to happen. But they were praising. They were praising the Lord. I think they were praising because of salvation. They were believers. Now, I do not have the records. I do not have the list of the other prisoners. I don't have the list of all the scallywags that were locked up with them. But I know this, according to the Bible, these are the only two men there praising God. And that tells me something. There's something different about these men. There's something different about these two men. They're not like the rest. And the reason they're different, because they're saved. They know the Lord. And knowing the Lord is supposed to make a difference. Not just in how we live. That's the case. There's no doubt about that. We ought to live different than we used to. But being saved ought to make a difference in our attitude and how we face things. Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. He said, you used to be like that, but you ain't no more because you're saved. You're a believer. And one of the reasons why they're praying and praising and singing is because they know the Lord. They know no matter what, oh, we're not alone. There's somebody else in here besides just us, Paul and Silas. And he's watching over. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He said, you used to be in darkness. You used to be in sin. You used to not know what's going to happen. But now there's a difference. You're children of light. Walk like you're in the light. Act like you're a believer. Paul and Silas did. Their actions in prison that night were normal for a believer. That makes me wonder, what about us? what about us? I'm not so sure we would act that way. I'll be honest. I'm not so sure I'd act that way. But we ought to. They are able to praise because of salvation. They knew how to face hardship and keep on going. Romans 5:3 says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. They are praising God and thanking the Lord and singing to God, unto Him, what the Bible says, because they know we are believers and God said He'd take care of us. And everything we face, including this, is God's will. It's working something good in us. He's working patience in us. He's working endurance in us. Peter echoes that thought by saying in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. He said, those trials, you want to know what's precious in your life? Not those days when everything's running smooth. Now, I like them. And not those days when things that happen that are good, but those things when days come that things fall apart and go backwards and you wonder, what in the world is going on? He said, those are things as precious as gold because God's working to make something better out of you. That's why they're praising. They're saved because of their salvation. James said like this, behold, we count them happy which endure. And then he uses our brother Job as an example of patience and how God helped that poor man to get through that time, that ordeal of a heartache, and come out the other side better than the way he went in. These men are praising because of salvation. I think they're praising because of Scripture. They had the Word of God not in their hands, probably. They probably had no copy of the Word of God at their disposal in that prison. They did not have Bibles like we do, where they carried it around so easily. To even find a copy of the Word of God in that day was unique, but they had heard, they had read, they had seen the Word of God, and they got the Word out of the page and put it in their heart. That Word had made a difference. The Scripture makes a difference in our life when we get it off the page and into our heart. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning," I understand that, to learn, "that we through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope." He said, you want to know why you got your Bible? You want to know why I told you all those things about the Old Testament saints? You don't tell me why, won't you me tell you why all this is in here about the epistles and the book of Acts and Revelation? I told you those things that you might learn from those things. And then when you're going through your prison time and it's midnight and you're hurting, you might look to the Word and get help. The Word of God helps. I believe they were thinking about the Word of God. That's why they were praising. Psalmist said in 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." If you don't spend time in the Word and time meditating on the Word, I feel sorry for you. Woe be to you when your midnight comes. Oh, there'll be not much praise in your heart and life. Psalm 119, verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word hath quickened me." Here's how I have comfort in my affliction. The Word of God sets me alive. Yeah, I believe these fellows was thinking about the Word of God. Made a difference. Psalmist again said in Psalm 119, verse 52, "I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted me." Oh, the Word of God comforts me. The Word of God encourages me. The Word of God challenges me. And I believe they were thinking about the Word of God in that prison. That's why they started praising God. It also warns us, the Word of God, in Psalm 19, verse 11, "Moreover, by them," the Word, "is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them," the Word, "there is great reward." I believe these disciples were thinking about those Scriptures that thrilled their heart. But I believe they were also thinking about those Scriptures that warned them to handle problems right. And not complain. And not bellyache. So they knew, we better not fuss much. I believe they were praising because of salvation, because of Scripture. I believe they were praising because of suffering. What in the world are you talking about? Well, this isn't the first time they've had to suffer. It isn't the first time they've had to go through trials. It isn't the first time they've had things go wrong in their lives. And I believe in my heart that they were looking back at those other times that they had suffered and saw what God had done then and thought, if he helped me then, he may just help me now. They were praising God for what might happen, what he may do, what he had done. He had been good before. James again, James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, God sends you through a trial now to work patience in your heart and life, because later on down the road, there's going to be another trial. And he wants you in the second trial to do better than you did in the first trial, because you learned something in the first trial that'll help you in the second trial. Did you get that? He works patience in our lives through trials. So these disciples, they'd gone through something before. And it was easier this time because they had gone through something before. We ought to be learning. We ought to be learning that if we've gone through it before and we survived, he helped us, he ain't going to forsake us when we go through it again. Our trials work in us good things if we'll let them. Romans 2:7, to them who have by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Those by patient and continuance in well-doing. Those who keep doing right in spite of what they're facing. That's what these disciples are doing. They did that because they suffered before. And they knew this is temporary. Now, I don't know if we're getting out or not. We may die in this prison. But either way, it's temporary. He may let us out. God may get us out. Or they may kill us. But either way, we're getting free. We ain't going to be bound long. And they're thinking about that because they had suffered before. Paul ordered it like this, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, what? You ever read his list of trials, the perils that he went through? And he said, oh yeah, well, that's not even hardly worth mentioning. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Maybe that's one of the things they're thinking about. This suffering we're going through right now tonight, all it's doing is shining our crown. If we'll handle this rightly, if we'll not grumble and complain and bellyache and get mad at God, if we'll accept it right, God will reward us. They've been suffering before. I think they were praising because of salvation and because of Scripture and because of suffering. Also because of Spirit. Oh, there's something working in them besides them. It wasn't just that Paul and Silas had good attitudes. They just kind of fell, man, I'm telling you what, just a good old spirit. Just a good old people, good old attitude. They're so even keel. In fact, you read about Paul, he's anything but even keel. But I'm talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in them, enabled them to praise. Supernaturally overrode any discouragement. Supernaturally overrode any fear. Supernaturally stopped any complaint and gave them peace and gave them joy. Jesus said, my peace give I unto thee. It means it's a gift. It means he gives it, but it also means we have to receive it. These fellows had received it. They got given a gift of peace and joy, assurance, trust. Ephesians 3:16, that he may grant according to the riches of his glory. Man, I like that already. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. all the glory and power that he has, he can give to us for our midnight trial. These disciples knew that Holy Spirit lived in them, and they submitted to him and to his work. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them who have no mind, he increaseth strength. To those who are so faint, they're about to stumble, about to fall, about to give up. They can't go any further. They're weak. He said, I'll give you strength. To those who are about to throw in the towel, to those who feel like they can't go on, who feel like the one more straw and that's it, he gives grace, he gives power, he enables them. That's what's happening to these disciples. It is a work of God. It is a work where they look back and say, I can't even explain that. I don't know how it happened. All I know is God did something for me in that midnight hour. That's why they're praising. Colossians 1:11, strengthened in all might according to his glorious power and to all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now, that patience and longsuffering is tough enough. But with joyfulness, that's what these disciples are facing. I believe that they're praising because of salvation and because of Scripture and because of suffering and because of Spirit. I believe they're praising because of saints. And number one, Paul recognizes that Silas is there. And Silas recognizes that Paul's there. And neither one of them want to discourage the other one. What a new, novel idea that is. we are too quick to complain to each other. And by the way, there's a need for that. There really is. There's a need for you to find a good, godly friend. I told you this before 1,000 times. Where you can unload on them. But there is also this aspect, if we aren't careful, we'll be the kind where all we do is unload all the time. And that's hard on the receiver. That's hard on the unloader. Because all the attitude is bad. But these disciples, I'm convinced with all my heart, they're concerned about each other, and one doesn't want to defeat the other. So they're praising God. It ain't fake. It's not worked up. It's something they yielded to. It's something God did in them. But they did it because they was thinking about saints, believers. Maybe they thought about believer friend, maybe somebody just gotten saved at the church the week before. And they thought, if that newborn believer finds out we're in here bellyaching, what's it gonna do to their spirit? It may be that they know somebody outside the prison that they know also is going through a trial and a terrible time. And they don't want that person to hear about Paul and Silas beginning to bellyache and bicker and fuss and get down and act in an improper way. So they're concerned about saints, each other and others. They want to be an encouragement to each other. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, we ourselves glory in you. In the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, I'm amazed when I hear about your patience and your endurance and what you've gone through and you keep on walking with God. I stand amazed. I glory in God. I thank him. And Paul and Silas are wanting that kind of testimony for their lives. They had already lived that. They had already demonstrated that, no doubt, before this, and they did not want to go out. If they're going to die, they sure don't want to die at the bottom complaining. They're going to praise God. They're going out shouting. Like we used to say in the old days, shout her out anyway. We ought to bring that phrase back. They helped each other. They didn't want to disappoint each other. They knew other saints were praying, and they didn't want to disappoint them. Then lastly, I believe they were praising because of salvation and the Scripture and suffering and Spirit and saints, but also because of sinners. The verse said, the prisoners heard them. And more than likely, those prisoners had not just come from Sunday school on the way to prison. They probably were scallywags. They were lost as they could be. I do know this. A jailer was lost because when he comes to the reality that there's been a disruption in the prison, and he thinks the prisoners are going to escape or have escaped, he's going to do it in so he won't get killed in a violent way. In verse 28, they say to him, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. What? All here. He knew there was something about these men because it didn't run when they could. The other prisoners was right there in the prison with them, and I guarantee you, I doubt very seriously there's a whole lot of chorus going on in the other jail cells. There wasn't a glee club. They weren't practicing their glee club. I guarantee you that. There wasn't a whole lot of singing unless it was gloom, despair, and agony on me. And here in the middle of all the prison, at midnight, when probably a lot of people were sleeping, they start singing praises. And the prisoners heard it. They thought, there's something different about these men. I know this. Whatever they got, I don't have. And whatever they have, I sure do need. And they sang praises because they knew lost people are listening, lost people are watching. By the way, they watch us. They listen to us. The jailer, again, was one of the ones that was moved. Verse 30, he says, sir, what must I do to be saved? God, touched his heart. Now, we are not told that Paul or Silas, either one, really preached to this man. They probably did. But what moved his heart and even brought him to the point to where he listened to the conviction in his heart was the fact that two men at midnight in a prison, beaten by him, singing and praising God. Sounds like it makes a difference with lost people. And he took them the same hour of night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Sounds to me like praying and praising makes a difference. And if you look at the early church, praying and praising was normal. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Paul said in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Psalm 39:1, I will say, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue and keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I'll make sure what I do and say is right when a lost person's around. These men praised. under some of the most difficult circumstances I could imagine. And it sure didn't make a difference. I talked with somebody the other day, I don't remember who it was, I talked to so many people about so many different things. And I told him what I tell you. So many of you heard me say this, I've said it to you. When you're going through a trial, get somewhere by yourself with the Lord and start worshiping and start praising. There's something about that that changes your attitude and makes the circumstances bearable. And there's no telling what else it might do. At midnight, beaten, bleeding, hurting, uncomfortable, they still praised. It sounds to me like it sure did help. Help them and help those around them.